we've made it till September, unsurprisingly, and the weather has turned. We're not actually in September. We are recording on Thursday, the 27th August. And I feel I need to make that disclaimer because we're going to talk about a lot of stuff that might happen in the next week. So we are recording a bit early, but you are listening. Well, you could be listening anytime because we are across all mediums of podcast. Ship Full of Bombs has increased its reach by millions now because you can get us on every available podcasting facility. We'll talk more about that a bit later on. But welcome, September, if you are listening live on Thursday, the whatever, 2nd, 3rd, 4th, not sure when the show is, doesn't really matter. But we are going to talk loads of stuff today. There's only two of us. It's just the gay boys, Ashley and myself. The straights run after our love talk last time. But we're going to kick things off with Where I Want to Be, and that is On the Road Again. On the Road Again by First Aid Kit, who are a great little band. So as I said, there's just the two of us tonight. The gays have taken over the show, which surely it should be. This is Loud and Proud, remember. Good evening, Ashley Edwards. How are you?
Good evening to you, Squire. I'm very, very good. I'm ready to talk about a smattering of different things. I please suggest a theme for a future show?
Yeah.
I was thinking about it just now, so I was looking at my board game collection. Can we do like a show based on games and competitions and winning and losing and board games, video games, everything like that?
We can do.
Yes.
Not really my cup of tea. Well, I
like board games aren't.
Well, I don't mind a board game. I have to be in the mood for a board game.
Well then, that's what we can talk about.
I've got a very funny story, actually. I will save it, but about a very drunken Cluedo. I say very drunken. I wasn't very drunk, but the other people playing were, and it was quite frustrating that actually they thought Cluedo.
Why don't you save it for our board game chat?
Yeah, I will do. But yeah, interesting. So, you know, I could talk about my achievements in the last month, but I'm not sure they would meet your achievements, world champion Edwards.
Yes, I participated in a live Facebook streaming competition that was international, and so well, I was competing against people from India, from Brazil, Mexico, USA, Italy, around the world, literally. Not the Antarctic, though, which was really sad that we didn't get to reach out to them. And Australia, we're on two different time zones for a suit with them. But 64 improvisers competed. and it got down to 8. And myself and Dave Green, who's another South End improviser, got to the final, and I won, which is lovely. And so
Was you surprised, or was you quite comfortable?
Absolutely shaken, because I think I'd done well in the quarterfinal and semi-final, but I didn't do so well in the final. So then when David Postansky announced that I'd won, I was really shocked. And also my mum was watching, because I was at my mum's house in Nottingham, and I heard my mum in her bedroom. I just heard her scream about 3 minutes after the Zoom call. And it was just, it was amazing.
You were delighted to know it was related to you winning, not anything else.
Just, yeah, absolutely, yeah. Maybe she was watching a really good episode of Grace and Frankie, I don't know. But it was really enjoyable. And I've just done a photo shoot with the lovely Gaz Devere and Dave Green, and hopefully that'll be going to the Echo.
Nice.
That's what I did it for, really. That's the gold standard, being the Echo.
Not the Sun or the Mirror. Do you think it will open up avenues and because it's Extreme Improv, that's the name of the group.
Yes. It's a London-based improv company. Okay. And I think with the lockdown, the guy who runs it, David Postansky, is just decided to link all these improv groups together around the world. Which is lovely, and so that means that I might be in fine fetter with them, and also maybe get some opportunities to work with them in London. And on Monday, I got Lee Terrell, who runs the Laughter Academy in Southend, to be on a podcast talking about mental health and improv. And we're thinking about having a special guest for the next one. So I'm not exactly fielding agents' offers, because there's not a lot of work for improvisers on national TV, unless they bring back Whose Line Is It Anyway. But it's nice. I won a tiny wrestler's belt and had great fun doing it.
It is tiny as well, isn't it?
It is tiny. My crowning glory was doing an impression of James Bond working at McDonald's.
Nice. Like, as you'd find him, to be honest, yeah. In these COVID times.
Oh, and Margaret Thatcher as a therapist.
The less said about her, the better. Well, that's stumped any achievement. You know, we could all have achievements this month. I'm sure we've all got our own personal achievements, but that is amazing. So,
I've done another achievement.
You had two achievements in 1 month.
I've been fighting for a long time. In my NHS trust that I work for, we've never been able to get rainbow lanyards, which for me is a huge thing within the trust, because it's a massive beacon up. This is an LGBTQ-friendly company. And I found out some money linked to COVID, and I talked about how the LGBTQ flag has kind of been reused for Save the Carers and stuff like that. And in some cases, they've actually used the LGBTQ
NHS
flag. I put a love heart on it, and NHS. And so I said, well, we need to kind of reclaim the LGBTQ bag, not like admonish the NHS, because they have the actual bowed rainbow. And they agreed. So now we get them.
Yay! It's funny, actually. I was out for dinner last night, and we were talking about that. We were like, you've started to notice that the rainbows are slowly disappearing from windows of houses. They used to be everywhere. The bunting's come down. Now people are like, you know, sod the NHS. And one of, you know, not everyone, obviously. You know, there are a lot of supporters of the NHS, myself included. But a lot of people have been, you know... Just remember, my friend, they both work for the NHS, and he put something on Facebook, and I said, what really happened then? And he said, well, you know, for all this time, there was all these people clapping, you know, letting people into queues early and stuff, and like, you know, pushing, you know, not pushing, but allowing people to the front of the queues if you're an NHS worker, you know, idolising them. You know, they were heroes and heroines of our day for the last couple of months. He said he went to Lidl the other day, went to get a trolley, and the security guy, he was in his, like, NHS uniform, he does like a doctor surgery, does like home visits on behalf of the doctors. And the security guard said, oh, mate, we're not letting NHS first now. You need to join the queue. And there wasn't a massive queue. There's about three people. But he said, I was just getting a trolley, mate.
That's pretty...
Yeah.
So I was on a random video date the other day where Grindr was doing this thing where you can have random video dates if you match with somebody. Well, that might be quite fun. Also might give me some good material for my comedy. And I was chatting to this guy, and I chatted to him for a good 10 minutes. And he said, oh, so what do you do? And I went, oh, I work for the NHS. And then his video stopped. I messaged him saying, was it your internet or was it me saying that I'm NHS? He went, oh, it's you saying that you're NHS. I'm sick of clapping for you, and I'm sick of all the free stuff you're getting.
What a toss, but what an absolute toss. Right. So we're going to talk a little bit tonight around reintegrating back into life as general, and maybe what the new normal is. And we spoke a little bit about it on the last show. We, you know, it was the when I think when the last show went out, it was start of Eat Out to Help Out. We're now, well, in, you know, at the moment, as we talk today, it is ending on Monday.
Wow.
But you know, it would have ended for all of you listening now. But I hear a few places are carrying on the scheme. I went
Yes.
out for a friend's mum and dad's wedding anniversary, and we benefited from the Eat Out scheme. There was a number of us, and we went to a restaurant, and I heard two tracks. Now, I don't usually listen to music in restaurants, but
You
it
don't
was
go
like.
there for the music, do you,
No,
really?
exactly. Unless there's obviously a live band or, you know, DJ or stuff. But there was a nice bit of background music playing, and it was quite nice. And it got to the end of the night, so it was close to 11 o'clock, and there was a couple of us just enjoying a glass of wine. So the music was carrying on playing. You could hear it a lot more clearer. And these two tracks were played back to back. And I really fell in love with them. So great old Shazam found out who they were, and here they are. So we're gonna start with Angie Stone, and it's called Wish I Didn't Miss You.
Thank you.
There's life in all of us, yeah. So keep doing what we do best. Sit around and smoke all day. Sit around throwing our lives away. A Tesco run anywhere from her dad. Said she could find such a better man. Don't sit around, don't ask smoke all day. Don't sit around, throw me his life away. I says he knows all the cards in my hand. That I better quit my, oh, quit my own band. Stop singing. Oh, and smoking all day. I'm gonna wind up in trouble someday. I just sit and disregard what you say. I got a girl who loves me, a smiling could be. I might lose a lover, hey. I got a cool million coming my way. I got a strange, a sentiment for life, and way too much faith in my divide. I sit around, oh, and laugh all day. Since smoke lays the days away. I got my people, some may call them heroes. All I do is end up envying them a dog. If they sit around, they make a music all day. What we still struggle, oh, just trying to find a way. I feel hopeless, but I'm happy as can be. I got my girl and the boys, all the family I'll ever need. We sit around. Life ain't so bad for me. Still I just sit and disregard what you say. I got a girl who loves me, a smiley could be. I might lose a lover, hey. I got a cool million coming my way. Always been. Maybe one day I'll meet Lightning McQueen. Paint me a picture, you'll go over the line. No more boundaries in any of our lives. Write me a verse, maybe a chapter or two. I'll pass the pack, girl, whatever pursues you. We're easy living by the far town of bay. We've never listened, that's why. Oh, we're just sitting disregard. What do you say? I got a girl, girl, who loves me, a smiley could be. I'm a losing lover, hey. I got a cool million coming. Always coming my way. Said it's coming my way. Way, way. I got a cool million coming my way.
So that was Wish I Didn't Miss You by Angie Stone and Cool Million by Doghouse Outhouse. You enjoyed those, Ashley, weren't you?
I really enjoyed those. And can I just say, what a wonderful dinner collection of music. They would go well culinarily.
I think they've chose really well. I don't know whether it was the restaurant's choice or whether they've just popped on a Spotify playlist, which I imagine they
have done. Yeah, I remember when I worked at the I worked at a Michelin star restaurant one there. And we used to have
our
this
biggest
like,
achievement yeah, ever is winning the
yeah, the Michelin. And we used to have this like jazz album that we had, and it was like a lot of like Charleston kind of music to listen to. And then one day the chef had been cleaning the restaurant and left his music in. And we put the CD on as normal and it started blasting through a lunchtime shift, which was already half capacity. And it was Fatboy Slim.
Way! Yeah. Everyone loves a bit of Fatboy Slim though, don't they?
Fatboy Slim while you're having a tart to tan.
I think everyone loves a bit of Fatboy Slim. And they were good. And so I was just looking, I was just Googling doghouse, outhouse. And then I, for some reason, I Googled doghouse outside because that just makes, you know, much more sense.
Yeah, but you really, really upset your wife.
And he's actually quite cute. I'm quite into it. But
lockdown's been hard on you, hasn't it? Lockdown has been
hard. It's been very hard. And so has lockdown. He is from Hastings, and he's like he's done much else apart from that song and another one maybe. I don't think he's very big.
Let me have a look at him.
Well known. He's all right. He's not bad. He's got long hair. It's
like are you long quite hair. Well?
Am I quite well or quite unwell?
He looks like the villain in most Charlie's Angels films.
Everyone loves a villain. Everyone loves a baddie. Right, let's not talk about what he looks like because this is, you know, people can't see him because it's radio. So we just, let's make him look like a Greek god.
No, everyone, I please Google it and go on his Instagram. No.
Okay, good. So, what have you been watching? You were just talking earlier before we went live, before we press record, about ghost hunting. You've got back into ghost hunting.
I spent a lovely week up north with my mum, and it kind of reminded me because my mum was unwell for a long time, and so I spent a lot of my time growing up, especially between the ages of 15 and 18. We would sit on my mum's bed and watch series and series and series of things, including Desperate Housewives, Charmed, Buffy the Vampire Slayer, that kind of stuff. And I went up there and we sat and watched Grace and Frankie and we had the best time. But we chatted a bit about Most Haunted. I mean, we used to watch a lot of Most Haunted and now obviously we know how ridiculous it was and Derek Acora being debunked and all of that. And also it just got, as series went on, it got stupider and stupider and stupider and more melodramatic and all of this. And I was just in the mood to watch a bit of a go. I was in the mood for a bit of a thrill because I'm quite open. I am like naturally skeptical and I like to figure out, oh, that's fake because, that's fake because. And I found this one on Amazon Prime called The Haunted Hunters. And if you get past the guy who runs it, who's called Danny Moss, who he kind of talks like this and he says, right, ever since we got that voice over the EVP, we decided we weren't safe. So we went downstairs with the rest of the crew. It's a bit dramatic. And however, what I like about them is they don't do any mediums, have any psychics. They just use loads of equipment and they put lock-off cameras everywhere and they quickly debunk everything as they go.
What type of equipment? So like...
So they use normal cameras.
Ghost hunting equipment.
Yeah, normal cameras, night vision cameras, and then thermal imaging. They also use an Xbox Kinect. You know that they're laser light to look for the human shape in the room. Okay. It doesn't pick up inanimate objects, and so it supposedly can pick up spirit shapes and stuff.
Okay.
It's like white noise and radio and stuff. And what they do is, even if the episode, they don't collect anything, they explain why they think the house is not haunted, and they then go through and explain where people are doing things on.
They make a show out of anything.
They make a show out of anything, but also they're not there going, oh my days, that's definitely like a ghost of like Sandra, like pulling at my leg. They say, oh, we're probably just...
That was your best Gemma Collins impression.
And that's why I think I like it more, because it's more scientific. And with Most Haunted, they had to put at the front of their episodes, this is for entertainment only. And this one, they don't. This one, they say, and that's why, obviously, you're at risk of having a bit of a boring episode where nothing happens. But at least they're being honest about it. And they say, look, the latest one, they've just got a voice of somebody answering a question over this radio frequency thing. And they say, look, it blocks out all of the radio signals. So we don't think it's interference. He said, however, we're not the manufacturers of it. And so we can't sit here and say, absolutely.
Potentially it could be.
I'm like, well, at least you're being realistic and honest. And so that's why I enjoyed it.
And I've never really got into things like that. I think because I'm not maybe a believer. I think I think something happens, but I'm not sure what after you die. And I think that's what I can't get my head around. But I've probably said this before on one of my shows, but because I travel around a lot with work, or used to, pre-COVID, we're going to have to have it'd have to be PC and...
PC, let's not be PC.
I remember, I think it was in my head because I read the brochure that told me the place was 500 years old and it used to be this and this. But I got woken up in the middle of the night and I looked to the right hand side of me and there was definitely a young kid sitting on my bed.
Okay.
And it just completely freaked me out. I had to sleep with the light on.
So I really want to do a ghost hunt, even if it's just for me to be like, oh, nothing's happened, so maybe it is all crap. But I used to work at this place in Nottinghamshire called Kelham Hall, and it was the 13th century. It was a monastery for a bit. It was a factory for a bit. And now it's the council offices. And it's very, very old. It's very big. It's even got a corridor called the Gothic Corridor. So it is built to be a haunted place.
Yeah.
I did a load of shifts there because it was silver service waiting. And so you do a shift from 8 in the morning till 2 in the morning. I do weddings and all sorts. And there was just a couple of bits where I saw a member of the wedding party at the wrong end of the building walking down the Gothic Corridor. And I jogged down to tell him he couldn't be there. He walked into the music room and I went into the music room and there was no one there. So I put that down to being a long shift, tired and seeing things.
Yeah.
And then all the security left at the end of a shift one night and all of the staff always sat in the middle of the carriage court and had a drink at the end of shift. And then one night we heard whistling coming from the bar, but like a melodic whistle. And so that kind of freaks all that bit. But again, we just put it down to group hysteria. And then the next night, a girl saw me running into the office, but I was nowhere near there. And she went into the office and there was no one there, which kind of buys into this thing called stone tape theory, which I'll tell you about that in a second. And then another night, the new manageress started and she asked me to turn the music off in the music room because she's been down there for more chairs and there's no one in there, so we don't need music in there. And I told her there's no sound system in there. There's no music to turn off.
The manageress said
she quit a week later.
Yeah, I was gonna say
she saw something in the office that spooked her. I couldn't do it. I never felt threatened, but it was eerie. Most Haunted did go and do a show there.
Oh, did they?
I don't trust Most Haunted because a load of stuff happens in the episode, like chairs being moved and all that kind of jazz. But I just don't trust them.
You need your scientists to go.
Yeah, I want my show to go because I think they'd have a good time. But yeah, there's this thing called stone tape theory where supposedly if light energy turns into heat energy and heat energy and can turn into kinetic energy and movement energy, the idea that residual energy of something that's happened can be retained in the stones because of air pressure particles moving into the stones. And the idea is that they can periodically be bounced back out again after moving their way through the stones and then hitting the hard wall and then coming back out again, thus projecting stuff that's happened recently. That's why some of these ghost hunter shows have seen members of their own crew kind of translucently walking somewhere. So not like a woman wearing a period dress, but
actually
somebody modern.
Images of people that
they know. And so I think residual energy, because if you think about it, if you were to go to Auschwitz, I don't think necessarily you could even go without knowing the actual history of what happened at Auschwitz and still feel the oppressive air of it.
It's not somewhere you stumble across, is it, on a holiday?
No, it's true. But there's some buildings, I don't know if you've had it, where you've walked in and something doesn't feel right.
Yeah.
And it could be where maybe the floor's slanted, maybe something like that. But I don't know, I think there's something.
Yeah, I think when you're on, because I was on my own as well, you always feel that there's, I think... You never hear people talk about, experiences with ghosts in groups. I know you were just saying about groups and stuff, but only one person sights it or hears it. And then the other one thinks, oh yeah, I did hear it, but they probably didn't.
Yeah. Hive mind.
Yeah. Cause I always remember my mum said that, we were in Florida back in years ago. We went as a family and she woke up one night and she said she saw a mother and a child standing by the door arguing, in the room, she said the door was wide open. But that's so surreal. That's like, could it just be a dream and a vision that felt so real? Or, because I think also the other thing to think about is I sometimes think about something and you get that whole deja vu thing. So I wake up and I think, did that actually happen? Dreams are sometimes
Absolutely.
Aren't they? And I wonder whether I was just dreaming about it, woke up. But then when I woke up, I thought it was
And that your subconscious bled into your consciousness. I know my mum was open-minded. My dad didn't believe. My dad didn't believe in any of that stuff at all. No, but he said he worked at this brewery in Nottinghamshire, very, very old brewery. The hometown I'm from is a medieval town. It's in the Magna Carta. It's very old. And it's not Chelmsford. And he said that he worked with a bloke that was proper, straight John Bull, University of Life. There is no mysticism, it's all nonsense. But he said that one night he saw a figure pushing over a crate of beer and then vanish, and he refused to work there ever again. And my dad said that he said it made him think, well, maybe there is something, because he's not that kind of bloke.
It's that, I think and once you experience something like that, you're always going to believe, although you try and tell yourself, like, and it's always the people that say they don't believe that have the visions or that they have the experiences.
I do think also there is some people out there that are like, you know, when
they want it to happen.
I'm really sorry for anybody that believes in this, but you know, when people say, so the day that my mum died, I felt a pressure at the end of my bed and the smell of lavender, and I knew that was her. She never wore lavender, but I just knew, or I saw a robin, or these clouds parted and the sunbeam shone down. I think there is an element of emotionally people looking for symbols where symbols necessarily aren't there. And I don't believe that ghosts are sentient, if there are ghosts. I believe that terrible places that have had terrible histories have residual energy that hovers around causing noises or sounds. But I don't think Casper's knocking about ready to have a conversation. I reckon it's just bad vibes there, man. If you go to certain gay bars, I'm sure, pretty sure you'll have some dark stuff happen there.
I think with the whole like attachment thing, that's just someone dealing with grief and loss, isn't it? And that's their way of being able to. They feel about it, but it might not be.
Actually, my mum didn't think it was actually a sign from dad, but she did think it was quite funny. So after my dad died, my mum was looking after his flat, making sure it was all right and stuff, because it was sitting empty whilst we were selling it. And my dad hated, and I've told you this before, my dad hated Pet Shop Boys above anything else. And my mum went to the flat one day, and for some reason, my dad's alarm clock had come on, even though she'd turned it off herself. And the radio was playing Pet Shop Boys, and mum found it hysterical because she thought, either that's a happy accident or dad, or that's Phil just taking the mickey.
That's so good. I remember, and I will never know, and if my friend Polly is listening, she needs to own up to it, but I remember she had a caravan in Walton on the Naze. It was an additional facility. It wasn't where she lived. We arrived all at the same time, and she swore to God that no one had been there since a certain date. Like, she was telling us when the last person had been, and we walked in and I looked at the, like, there was like one of those calendar changer things that you change yourself, you know, like it was I remember it so well. It was like a big busted woman in a pink top, you know, very kitsch, and it had the date that we were arriving on the bloody thing. And I was like Ooh. And the people that were there last time would nothing to do, so they wouldn't know we were going and stuff. And I was just like,
"That's odd, isn't it?"
At the beginning of the thing, and she, like, I thought she must have like run in before, but she didn't, because I was the first one. She literally unlocked the door and I walked in, and it was the first. For some reason, it was the first thing I looked at, and it was there, and it was exactly the day that we arrived. Like, how does, like, you know, unless it's been set up, obviously she could have
that's true.
The cleaner and told us, but it has the date or something like that. But I was just it freaked me out the whole weekend. Yeah, because no one changed it.
Also, with this whole like hive mind, like group theory, I've been enjoying also looking at this week, this idea of the Mandela effect. Have you heard of the Mandela effect? It's the idea that a large group of people remember things wrongly, but all remember it wrongly the same way.
Okay.
No, so
because of the way they've been told.
There's infamous examples of it happening to several million people. So what is the most famous line from the film E.T.?
E.T. phone home.
Mm. No, he doesn't say that. He says E.T. home phone. What's the film? He says E.T. home phone. And then after that, Drew Barrymore corrects him and says, no, it's phone home. And but we all remember it, E.T. phone home. But that's wrong. That's
does
not
he
right.
He never repeats it ever again then, no, in the right way.
He only ever says E.T. home phone. And it's the same for Play It Again, Sam, from Casablanca. That's never said. He said, Sam, will you play that again? And we all remember it, Play It Again, Sam. So it's the Mandela effect that we've all remembered it wrong.
It's crazy. That's mad.
And also, we're going to need a bigger boat from Jaws. He doesn't say that either. He says, you're going to need a bigger boat. So yeah, the Mandela effect I found really fascinating. And there's huge loads of examples online.
I'm going to have to look up that. It's weird, and it's odd how people can be convinced by other things, can they? You know, as you said, you know, because people have been saying it, you just go along with it because you don't want to also be the one to question it and be wrong. So I find that's you want to, you know, I like a little challenge, and you know, you were saying earlier around game shows and stuff, and I was watching House of Games this evening. Love a bit House of Games.
House of Games is an absolute triumph of British television.
Yeah, we spoke about House of Games a lot on this show. People are really bored, it's great, and even the repeats are still great.
My friend Nancy Appleby. I think it's the only thing she actually genuinely really watches, and she watches all the repeats on YouTube.
It's so good. And you know, I love a challenge, but I do like to be right, and I will, if I'm not as confident, I might just keep quiet just to, you know, and then think, I should have said that. But in the background, actually, I've started my Pointless application, because Pointless are accepted.
Well done. I applied for it once and I didn't get anything back. I also applied for First Dates, and they didn't get back to me either.
Oh.
Maybe I should go for Undateables.
What about Naked Attraction?
I think I'd burn televisions down across the world. No one wants to see what's under these clothes, which is basically a bag of onions. I'll make you cry.
Badum-chish.
I do want to do Pointless. And also, my friend Matthew's he applied for Only Connect, and they didn't get through, sadly, but I'd love to go on Only Connect.
Oh, Only Connect's too much for me. Talking about shows that are coming back, and I think I'm going to very tediously link it to Ghost Hunting. I'm a Celebrity.
It's going to be at a potentially haunted Welsh castle.
Thank you. So it's quite a good link, to be honest.
It's actually quite a good link.
Do you think they're going to play on that a lot, though? Like as much as, what's it called? Celebrity Hunted,
I think they will.
Creepy Crawlies.
Yeah, I think it's going to be like it's certainly over more lines of that children's TV show Raven, where it's all like medieval style things.
Raven.
And I also think, you know, like sometimes in I'm a Celebrity, when they're in Australia, they have like the rough camp they have to be in. It might be that if they're in the crap, they have to be in the most haunted room in the castle and stay there all night and sleep on the floor.
We should be the producers.
I think we should be. They haven't released who the celebrities are going to be yet, but it does. I love the fact that they've decided that they are going to do it. And I also love the fact that they're doing it in the UK, because living on a heritage site, which is not built for habitation because it's a visitor centre, you're not supposed to sleep there. I think it's going to be fascinating.
I do worry though that the... the celebrities, sometimes there's a couple there that are all right, but I think this year I was reading or watching something and they said they were struggling to book people because they weren't getting a nice trip to Australia. They were going to North Wales, which, you know, is beautiful, and, you know, but probably not in October,
but
November
also they're
time.
Still getting paid a load of money to be on it, and think of all the extra Instagram followers and the Facebook followers. People just need to get their crap together,
and they can be in their own bed by, you know, like the day they released.
Absolutely. A
week later. Okay, well, that was good discussion. Let's play some music.
I love that you're giving feedback after every conversation. That was okay.
Completely carried away. And we'll keep on the game show theme. And we won't. I'll save it for next time, because I've got an interesting story about when I actually applied for a game show. And we got through... right up until like the final audition stage, and then it went wrong. So, but that's a teaser for maybe next.
I have got so many stories for when I applied to The Chase, for when my brother got through to Jeremy Kyle on a lie. I've got so much.
Well, let's save those for next month. So we're going to talk a little bit about Canada Drag Race a little bit later. Mm-hmm. And Ashley reminded me earlier that this next song was last week's lip sync.
Yes, it was what Lemon lip synced to.
And I have to say, you have rekindled my love for Alanis Morissette since
she's outstanding. You know, album that this song comes from was declined by several production companies until one took it on. It obviously ended up becoming one of the best-selling albums of that decade.
So here she is with You Ought to Know.
I want you to know that I'm happy for you. I wish nothing but the best for you both. I know the version of me, is she perverted like me? Would she go down on you in a theater? Does she speak eloquently? And would she have your baby? I'm sure she'd make a really excellent mother. Cause the love that she gave every day wasn't really for the making, it out for you to be open wide. No. And every time you speak her name, does she know how you told me it helped her until you died?
Yeah.
my fear. I haven't lost my hope, even though I am so far from my home. I've been living life on the edge, slipping far if I take one more step. The safety in numbers, I guess, but I'm going rogue in the wild, wild west. Wild, wild west, wild, wild west, wild west. From where I stand, there's a world where you deep breath, and I get real high, and I ocean. And I pray, oh my God, do I pray? I pray every single day for revolution. Into a crazy
our little foursome there. So we had You Ought to Know by Alanis Morissette, Where Have All the Cowboys Gone by Paula Cole, Ashley, your choice for this show, Wild West by Lissy.
That was a dedication to Matthew Willis, my friend Matt, who is one of his favourite songs.
There we go. And we spoke yesterday about my love for Lissy, and we'll talk more about it in just a moment. Just finished off there was What's Up by Four Non Blondes. Good little foursome, I think.
Great foursome. And also, what a song to finish on. Yeah. And also, just as the heavens absolutely open.
I was about to say, it's absolutely peeing it down. Like, literally, like, God has decided that... Because the gays are on the radio. Like the gates on the radio,
right? We need to etch-a-sketch the world. but yeah, a perfect song to sing over my balcony to the pouring rain.
Yeah, and unfortunately, some poor delivery drivers should have to deliver some food to someone's house.
Can you hear the rain from my end? I need to close my window.
Well, I don't know whether I can hear it from my end or your end. It's a nice little sound effect. I don't think I can hear it. So let's talk a little bit about, so in the break, we have been thinking about our best and worst lineups for I'm a Celebrity, and Ashley's Googled the castle to see how haunted it actually is. So we'll talk about it in just a minute, but I just want to pick up on Lissy, because I thought, you know, ironically, and because I'm me, I thought I was the only Lissy fan in the world. But, you know, I've been to quite a few of her concerts, and there was obviously other people there. But that song, Wild West, you said you saw it through Twin Peaks.
Yeah, so it was in the 2017 series where people that had been watching it from the start had to wait 10 years for the next series. And in every single episode, they finished it with an odd dialogue between two characters that weren't part of the show, and then finished it with a song. And there was this very, very weird, eerie conversation between these two young ladies, and then they finish it with Lissy's Wild West, and she performs live on the show. And it was the first time I'd heard it. I instantly fell in love with it.
So that was taken from her third album called My Wild West. You know, very creative from Lissy there. But she has got like a great back catalogue, and, you know, even future catalogue of songs after My Wild West. She's a beautiful singer. And you were saying yesterday, and Mark also commented that she sounds a little bit like Stevie Nicks.
Yeah, I think Mark's hit the nail on the head there. She has kind of like a new age Stevie Nicks vibe.
She's great, and I've seen her live at Union Chapel, and we were talking about getting back to concerts at Union Chapel, and it's yeah, I think one day we'll all be back, you know, singing to our favourite artist songs together, maybe socially distanced, hopefully not in masks, because you can't really sing in a mask. I've tried, it doesn't really work very well, but she's great. So if you liked that, check it out. She does a lot. She does some covers. She's just released a piano only, so she used to call it the piano retrospective. It's just her songs, just acoustic, just her and the piano. Beautiful. Lovely. Really, really good. So let's get back to the Haunted Castle. The rain is absolutely bundling down now.
I know, I've closed my French windows now. Yeah, that makes
crazy.
On the outside.
right, so Haunted Castle, yes. How's it pronounced?
I think it's pronounced Gwirich. Let me just check the phonetics.
Gwirich. There's so anyone Welsh listening, maybe let us know that is completely wrong.
I'm just going to check because Wikipedia's got the phonetics for it.
I was just thinking, why didn't they put Love Island in that castle as well? They could have done like a summer in the castle.
Well, no, because then I'd be petitioning for it to be burnt down. it is. Hold on.
While you're finding it, my director at work today rung me and said he beautifully, he's it was his and his wife's 30th wedding anniversary last week. And he got a video message recorded from Miriam Margulies. I know. And I don't know whether, did you see her Australia series called Almost Australia?
Yes, it was incredible.
And what about the drag community in Brisbane? Do you know what? Like, she is just an absolute legend, isn't she? Just a complete hero and legend. Anyway, this video was the cutest thing ever that I've seen. But he was saying, just thinking about the Love Island thing you were saying about burning the castle, he said, is this from this website called Cameo? He said, there's loads of people on there, you know, like some people from X on the Beach, like Joss. And I was like, you're talking to the wrong person about X.
I'm not. But what's funny about it is that if you look at it in drag queens, so for Katerina Petrovna Zamolochikova or Katya to do one for you is £147. But if you ask like Jada Dior Fierce, no, or like somebody who's less famous, it's like 14 quid.
So Miriam Margulies was only 70 quid, which I think is a bloody bargain.
That is an absolute bargain.
But she you know, obviously that they tell that, you know, you can tell them what you want them to say, but you know what she's like? She's just a proper story reader. So she made it sound like, well, I don't know whether my director wrote these words, but she made it sound like he absolutely adored his wife. But she did say, which was, I thought, quite funny, I hope he can tell you this himself, but he doesn't have to pay someone to tell you.
Oh, how cute. I think Carol Baskin fell afoul of it, didn't she?
Oh, really?
Because somebody told her to say happy birthday to my good friend Rolf Harris, love from all the kids, and your good friend... She says Jimmy Savile.
Oh no.
She did a cameo to Rolf Harris and Jimmy Savile.
Is Rolf Harris still alive?
I think barely hanging in there.
Yeah, okay. Don't know why that came to mind.
Alive or dead, he might be at this Welsh castle.
Just while we're on the cameo thing, I did look and...
he's alive.
Apologies if Reshma, you're listening, but she'd during lockdown she'd reclaimed her garden and she'd made it look beautiful, and she was having we made this little opening garden party for her, and I was going to get Wagner from X Factor fame to open her garden for her.
Yes, Wagner.
Via video, but I forgot all about it, but he was only about 12 quid.
Yeah, there's some of them.
I'm thinking that's going to be a thing that I'm going to do for people's birthdays now, because I never know what to buy them. And do you know what? If someone bought me a video like message from Miriam Margulies, I couldn't say thank you enough to them.
Absolutely.
I think she's an absolute legend.
Last time I checked, Miranda Hart was £185.
Ooh. Yeah.
Yeah, but no, some of it's
quite,
like
it's quite
that.
Degrading for them, to be honest, though, isn't it? To have to talk to... Luckily,
you say degraded, but they're earning like what, 180 quid for twerk.
Yeah, that's very true. I got a birthday message done for my friend Polly by Will Young, and I didn't pay a penny for it because I won tickets to meet backstage and it's Chris Pavilion. And I said, I could only bring two people, so I didn't bring the birthday person. I bought my really good friend because she would never let me not.
Yeah, I'd be the same because I would love to meet Will Young.
And he was really unwell, like really unwell, like, you know, a bit like I sound right now. And he recorded the most beautiful message for my friend Polly, and we sent it to her. Oh no, we were meeting her for dinner, so we just showed it. They said, she's like, well, how did you get this? We said, oh, we've just met him. And she took it very, very well. Okay. And then we went to see him in concert after.
Talking about the Pop Idol and X Factor gays. on the flip side of that, I met this lady on holiday who was at a pub once, and Joe McElderry came in. He joined them for dinner. Joined him for a drink, because he was a friend of a friend, and he brought a bouncer with him.
What? Joe McElderry? Was this when he was starring as Joseph in Joseph and the Technicolor Dreamcoat?
No, this was a year and a half ago.
Was it gay bar?
No.
Oh, that, I you just don't get that.
No, me neither.
David Beckham walks around LA without carrying bouncers around with him. I'm sure they're probably on tap and someone would be around like quite quickly.
But... yeah, no, but you're never going to mess with a man wearing a sarong, are you?
He's a lot more famous than Joe McElderry, that's what I'm saying.
He really is. So this Welsh castle.
Yes.
So if my Welsh pronunciation and my use of the International Phonetic Alphabet is right, it's Gwrych.
Nice.
Gwrych Castle. And it's nicknamed the Heartbreak Castle Heartbreak.
Because?
In a ghost hunting show done in it, and that was on the Science and Discovery Channel. And that might be available online, I'm not sure. But supposedly, it was originally, the site is 14th and 15th century, and it has been rebuilt in the 18th century. And apparently a lord and lady lived there, a count and countess, and then she died, and then the count sold all of her valuables. And supposedly since then, she's haunted the grounds because she's so angry. There's also been there's regular ghost hunts there and stuff like that, and experiences and whatever. But also it's been used for a 1950s boxers training residence, and also like battle reenactment and all that, because it's such a wealth of land. But we were thinking about what would be the ideal and the less than ideal celebrity lineup. So I'm going to start. Would you like to start with the ideal or the not ideal?
Okay, let's go for ideal. Who would you want to see?
Always.
Is ideal who you'd want to see, or who you think would be best at a Heartbreak Castle?
A smattering of both.
Okay, yeah.
I'd love to see... I always, always, always want to see Claudia Winkleman doing anything.
Yes, yes.
And then my other...
And as far away from Tess Daly as possible.
As possible. But possibly also I'd love to see, just because of the situation and having her on her own, Yvette Fielding.
See if she can spot any ghosts.
Yeah, and I think also because she was the most funniest person to put in the castle on her own.
Although I love Miriam Margolyes completely, like, I would love to see her there because she would just fall apart, like, completely.
Oh, I know, but my heart would bleed for her.
I know, but it would be completely hilarious.
It would be really, really funny. Funny.
Yeah, who else would I love to see in I'm a Celebrity? Piers Morgan, and put him through actual physical pain, like stick him in the stocks and just let
him come through. And actually, Michael Sheen, I didn't realise how funny. Michael Sheen, he's Welsh as well, so he doesn't have
to... he hasn't got far to go.
No, and he's also very, very funny.
And you said also Trump could be, need some money.
He might need a job. Now, he goes into my less than ideal, because I don't think he should ever have any TV time, but less than ideal, Prince Andrew.
Rolf Harris,
Rolf Harris, Derek Acora. I would not want Derek Acora. My least favourite, because I detest Kerry Katona.
Did you actually, talking about Kerry Katona, Kerry Katona's daughter was on The Voice Kids.
Right.
And she got through, but Kerry Katona is just an absolute mess now. Absolute.
So I watched a Channel 4 doc on her, and it was...
Why is Channel 4 commissioned documentaries about I thought they were better than that, Channel 4.
This was 8 years ago.
Oh, okay.
And I think it was to do with the rise and fall of Kerry Katona. I think she desperately needed the money, and they did this documentary on her. And there was a moment
There a rise? Any point? I think
they kind of did it like a panorama special, because there was a moment where they ended the documentary early. They were going to be filming for more days, but they stopped filming it. And it's because at one moment she seemed really skittish when she was being interviewed. And then she started to pace around the room, and then she left and went to the bathroom. And after 45 minutes, the lady who was interviewing said, "Kerry, you all right?" And then she came bouncing out of the bathroom and started jumping on the sofas.
Oh my God.
And So obviously you're just taking
those poor kids. Like, those kids look completely. Yeah. Oh, talking about kids. Now I am, you know, I'm not one to be horrible. I'm quite a nice person. Although many people will disagree with that. But have you seen Lily Allen's Instagram feed recently?
No.
Okay. Just look at Lily Allen's Instagram feed and look at her. I think it's, I would call it her eldest child. So you'd have to sit in like gallery view because she's quite far down. But I'll just leave that with you. I'm not saying anything horrible about her. I'm not saying anything nice about her. But I got a little surprised because Lily Allen to me is Lily Allen. I don't know why, because she's not gorgeous. She's the only person that I would probably turn straight for. If she came to me, like knocked on my door tomorrow and said, look, I just want to spend my rest of my life with you, I'd be like, yeah, I can deal with that. But I saw her children.
Is there a specific picture I'm looking for? Okay.
It's a very unfortunate picture, isn't it? But then I thought maybe it's a very unfortunate picture, but I'm not sure. And I tried to work out who the dad was. Who's the dad?
Love the audience. I don't know. I think from this picture...
Don't show me it. Right? Don't show me it because I won't stop laughing. And I'll probably kill myself.
It's obviously, like, first of all, can I just say that this girl has beautiful blue eyes.
Beautiful. And there's nothing wrong with the ginger.
No, and also her hair colour is lovely.
There is just something unfortunate about her shape of her face and her hairline.
80% forehead.
Beautiful little nose, lovely little eyes, you know, wonderful child.
I don't think it helps that she's sat next to Lily Allen, who's got a
fringe. Right. Anyway, let's get back on tangent because I've still got loads of music to play. So at the same time as you were thinking about your best and worst lineups, I googled the rumours, which might come as a surprise. Obviously, sometimes they get one right. Vernon Kay, he is rumoured to go in the jungle. So there's a little link there.
I wonder how many people he can cheat on. Just there.
Vinnie Jones, he probably needs some money now.
Also, can we retract what we said about her daughter? Because Lily Allen's turned the comments off that picture, so I imagine that she got quite a lot of...
I didn't say anything horrible.
I did, so let me retract what I said. Right.
Jenny Ryan.
So Vernon Kay, I don't like Vernon Kay, but carry on.
Vinnie Jones.
I would love that.
Yeah. Jenny Ryan from The Chase.
Is she the Sheffield lass with her glasses?
That's the one. Maya Jama. You know... Was she T4 fame, wasn't she? Maya Jama?
No, yes. Lovely, fine.
Bag of chips.
No, see, I was going to say to you, actually, I was expecting a RuPaul UK.
Because, yeah, or Davina De Campo. I think one of them two will go in. Maybe Cheryl Hull.
Bagger, I imagine, will, because Bagger is so thirsty for fame.
Bagger's done MasterChef. Did you see her in MasterChef?
I did see her in MasterChef, but she did Instagram, and she does a lot of Instagram live videos. And whenever I've clicked on it, she's had 4 to 18 viewers.
Oh.
They're like, somebody like, some of them who have like 20-odd to 30,000 live viewers. Like, it's not great.
Tamsin Outwaith from EastEnders.
Oh, lovely. I do like Tamsin Outwaith.
Yeah. Amy Hart from Love Island. Matt Baker.
Okay.
I think that's too low for Matt Baker.
Yeah.
AJ Pritchard from Strictly Come Dancing.
Oh, delicious. Eric, he's very handsome.
Eric Cantona.
Oh, my God. I love Eric Cantona.
Joe Sugg.
No, because he passed out on Bake Off.
Because he got his finger. Beverly Callard, who is Liz McDonald in Coronation Street.
Oh, no, if you said Beverly Knight, I'm interested.
Jeremy Clarkson.
Right.
No. John Barnes.
Right.
Ronnie O'Sullivan.
Right.
And Susanna Reid. I think they've just probably got a bit desperate in the end of like, we'll just add some names.
Can I just say that I don't think that can be the predictions that are very accurate predictions because it's not very, how do I say it?
Z-list.
Diverse.
Especially with the current climate that we're in. Let's have a little break.
Oh my gosh, they just have Alison from this morning. Alison Hammond.
I think Alison Hammond is too good for I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here.
But I think I think ITV should shell out the cash for her, especially because she works for ITV.
I think they should stick Phil Phillips Schofield in there. He's starting to really annoy me now with this.
Oh, it annoys me.
How he's but just.
I don't like him.
He seems to be completely like camp.
He's not done wonders for the gay community in my life.
Right.
But Alison Hammond, please, Alison Hammond, if you're listening, I know you are.
Yes.
Please do I'm a celebrity.
Please promote our show on This Morning and then also go into I'm a Celebrity. Get our priorities right. So I'm going to resurrect something from a couple of shows back, which we haven't done I don't know why we haven't done it, because we could have done it, but due to lockdown, it was our then and now section. So I found something back recently. I think we did it for Alanis Morissette, actually, when you picked the Alanis Morissette
song. Can I just double check that you're not doing like body shots before and after lockdown, because I'm not ready for the world.
No, we're not doing that. And remember, it's radio, so no one would be able to see it. I was watching... I can't remember what I was watching. I was watching something and James Bay was on there promoting his new...
Was it Dora the Explorer? Because you're having a learning day.
No, James Bay is not in Dora the Explorer. He's got a new single called Chew On My Heart, which is a very interesting name.
I've heard it.
Yes, and we're going to play it in just a moment. But before we play that, we're going to throw back to whenever he was famous before, if he was.
Is this the song about him holding holding an estuary back?
This is exactly what it is, and this is Let It Go.
Walking home and talking lows, to seeing shows in evening clothes with you. From nervous times and getting drunk, to staying up and waking up with you. And now we're sleeping at the edge, holding something we don't need. This delusion in our heads is gonna bring us to our knees. So come on, let it go. Just let it be. Why don't you be you and I'll be me? Everything that's broke, leave it to the breeze. Why don't you? Throwing clothes across the floor, to teeth and claws and slamming doors at you. If this is all we're living for, why are we doing it anymore? I used to recognize myself, it's funny our affections change. We're becoming something else. I think it's time to walk away. So come on, let it go. Everything it's broke.
time. I'll be right here. I know no one could ever love me better. Take all night. You're the truth that is breaking me and keeping me together, together.
That was James Bay with Let It Go and Chill My Heart, which I still can't work. It's a very uneasy...
Well, it's just nice to see that he's a lot happier now and he's singing about such jolly, jolly things.
He has been with his... He was saying he's been with his girlfriend for the whole time through writing all his music. And he's only I think he's only like 21 or something. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, he's not lived.
Exactly. but he's probably got a lot more money than the both of us put together. So
absolutely,
well
yeah.
done to him. Yes, that was James Bay. And I'll remember to do that every... when we hear someone that's got a good track out, we will throw back. Melanie C at the moment is... I'm not going to say it's a good track, but I haven't heard it. But
well, The Killers have just done a great new track. And Travis and I've done a new track. Stereophonics have done a new track.
We're going to be all over it. So I wanted to talk a little bit about Drag Race, because sometimes we can probably be told that our show is probably not camp enough. I can't see how. But I wanted to first just pay tribute to Gigi Devane, who died aged 34 last Friday, 21st.
Last Friday. And it was genuinely, genuinely heartbreaking, because all the way through... watching Drag Race, a lot of drag queens always comment on what a lovely, lovely person she was and how friendly and kind, and she was never bitchy or mean or doing rants live on Instagram or anything like that. She was always just a kind, kind person. And for even somebody as cutting and evil as Bianca Del Rio to be torn apart by it is heartbreaking.
I think when once a community is so close together, that Drag Race community, although there are now probably hundreds of them, they are still a close-knit community, aren't they? And they've all experienced the same thing together.
And also, I must say, I was taken and quite surprised. I think it is a testament to RuPaul. I mean, obviously, fracking aside, that news made BBC news.
Everywhere. I was driving back from Lincoln on Friday, and I was listening to BBC Radio 2, and the news came on, and at the 10 o'clock or 11 o'clock news, whatever it was, the last story was, and you know, RuPaul's Drag Race star Cheech Devane passed. And I thought that, like, five years ago, you wouldn't have.
No one would have known.
Wouldn't even. Know,
like, I'm also gonna just. Not to, I don't want to take away from Cheech Devane. Want to have my baby. She was very, very I came back from Newark when you were driving back from Lincoln, so you could have picked me up.
Did you get the train then?
Yeah.
Oh, no, we should have sorted that out. Sorry.
No, it's fine. Don't worry about it, because I'm about to be in your company for a long period of time. And that's
and my parents, which is probably worse than
that. Oh, heavens. No, hard pass.
Unless you wanted to be in the boot, where you probably usually are. But I just wanted to touch on... I just wanted to touch on Cheech Devane. I just want to read this out, because The Guardian put a little article together, and obviously she was unwell, and her fans knew she was unwell, because on her... in a video message on... Instagram the week before, she said she asked for fans to keep her in her prayers, and she'll be back soon. And her family described their tremendous sorrow and added that her final words to her family were "never give up." Just, you know, I know, I got tingles as I was reading it. And you know, anyone going at 34 is awful. And you know, I know people, you know, pass every single day, but our thoughts are with, you know, anyone affected by her death. Let's move on to talk a little bit. We'll stick on the Drag Race theme because tomorrow, and remember, we are recording, it's the 27th of August. Tomorrow, I believe we will find out who has won Canada's Drag Race. I believe.
Oh, is it the winner tomorrow? I thought it was the semi-final tomorrow.
Well, there's four of them left, and there's usually four in the final. Maybe I've just completely over-predicted this. But
I think you're right, maybe. I think you're right.
Well, either way, by the time this show plays out, we will know, potentially, maybe not, or maybe we'll wait until tomorrow to find out who our winner of Canada's Drag Race is. And I have to say, I know we mentioned it last week, and you said you were a little bit... let down and disappointed, didn't you? Because you said you didn't think it was right without RuPaul not being there.
Well, I also noticed that they have called it Canada's Drag Race rather than RuPaul's Drag Race Canada. I would say that part of it will be because I don't understand Canadian humour. And Canadians do have their own special humour. They have their own TV shows like Corner Gas and stuff like that. And I know that my friend of mine called Siobhan, who's Canadian, was famed for just having a different type of comedy, so that's some of it. But some of the judges I've been the most disappointed and shocked by, because on a RuPaul stage, some of the things that they've said are great have been diabolical, to where in the first ever episode, one of the drag queens looks the spitting image of Porkchop but worse, and they absolutely idolized her, and she stuck two potatoes on her boobs. Awful. And they said she looked great. And also, I think sometimes they're unnecessarily nasty. And the RuPaul squad and Michelle Visage, although they're blunt, they're never nasty. And I think they are nasty. I don't think they've promoted a very healthy atmosphere.
So I've just looked. I have to say, I have to disagree with you completely. I have loved Canada's Drag Race, because I think it's taken it back to original RuPaul, where it wasn't too poncy and it's a little bit real. And I think the contestants don't feel that they are the best thing since sliced bread. I feel they are fighting for, you know, that crown a little bit, where the others like don't seem that bothered because they're on there and they've got the fame and stuff. But I have just looked, and you were correct. It is the semi-final, and Michelle Visage is in the semi-final tomorrow.
Judging squad, go, she sort everything out.
There is an episode 10, which I imagine would be the final. But as we're saying, you know, that airs on the 3rd of September. Which is the same day as our next show, I think, round about then. And so the winner will be, you know, we can have our predictions. So there are four queens left. Mm. They are Jimbo, Priyanka, Rita Bagger, and who else is left? There's one more left. Scarlet Bobo. Yeah.
Scarlet Bobo, yeah.
Yeah, so Jimbo, Priyanka, Rita Bagger, Scarlet Bobo. Who is your favourite? And do you think your favourite will be the winner?
Well, my favourite's Jimbo.
Ah, exactly the same as mine.
Has been from the start. Just the funniest, most aware. For me, the shining moment that kind of like separates her from all of them was the first ever challenge of them climbing up this little snowy slope to have a massive fan part on them. And they had to get the best photo they could. And Jimbo didn't even try to look pretty. She just screamed and screamed.
Completely.
You can tell she was doing it on purpose as well to look ridiculous. And she's always been up there and they give her a bit of a hard time. And I think that's because they know that she's one of the favourites. Although Priyanka, as a person, I really like her. She's friendly, she's funny. Her looks keep getting read really well. Like, oh, wow, you look really, really great. You look beautiful. And I think her makeup looks crap sometimes. Her wigs look crap. And they say, oh, you're doing really, really well. And when I say crap, I mean by RuPaul standards, where you can see the lace front, you can see that the cornflake wig line. And the... last week they had to dress up a stranger and to do family resemblance, and I thought Jimbo had done great. And
that
red leather situation. But Priyanka did bodysuits with capes and they said that it looked amazing, but it was just leotards. Like, that's not drag. That wasn't what it's frustrating because there seems to be a different standard to the judging of what they want.
Yeah, okay. Well, you know, I think that's the thing. I agree with you about Kim's Drag Race. Jimbo has to be the winner. We will wait and see whether that happens. Now,
I wanted Davina DeCampo to win the UK version, and I was quite...
I hated Davina DeCampo.
Did you?
Yeah, really hated Davina DeCampo. Because I remember seeing Davina DeCampo. I saw her live once somewhere. Must have been somewhere in Manchester. And then I watched her on that All Together Now, and she just put a bad name for drag queens because she was just... drag queens because she was just awful. I don't like her at all.
Did you watch the thing that Vivian did, that was her prize when she got to her own show in America?
No, I haven't watched it yet.
Absolutely awful.
Oh.
It's
why watch it
awful
then? Or is it just kind of like,
do you remember RuPaul did that Christmas special?
Yes,
that was awful as well. Yeah. It's that level. Everything's scripted.
I wanted Bagger Chips to win, to be honest. I wanted Bagger.
I would have been livid if she'd won, because I thought all of her drag was rubbish. I thought every single thing she wore was rubbish. And she never changed. And also, she did the same wave. Everything was the same.
This is the great thing about opinions.
Her Margaret Thatcher was outstanding. And that was really good. And
is it better than yours, though?
Yes, 100% better. Okay. I don't even mind saying that. The Vivian's Donald Trump was out of this world, and Davina DeCampo's was rubbish. But I really, really would have been angry if Bag of Chips had won. Really angry.
What I want to see is every time the final comes, they obviously do a song, don't they? And they put their own verses on the songs and stuff. And obviously, you know, the UK version, we had the Frock Destroyers, which is great. So I'm hoping that Candy Drag Race do exactly the same thing. And I think probably it's going to be that, you know, Wear It Well that they seem to sing along to at the end of every song.
Yes.
That seems to be a thing. But, I think we've spoken about it. All Stars 5 obviously recently just finished, and I'm going to play Clapback, which was their version of where they invited all the stars back to be in the background, just so they had their thing. So this is Clapback by RuPaul and the cast of All Stars 5.
Take it. fresh and sweet. I'm the queen. Come out your mouth and I'll attack. Try to keep it cute, but it's true. I'm the queen who will clap back. Bitches wanna talk about me, alright. I got my girls with me tonight. Don't think you can say that crazy shit to me. You know I'll definitely clap back. Get your girl side by side. Don't you hold it in. Clap back, speak your mind. Say it twice so they don't forget. Clap back, when they talk to you like that. Don't you sit and take it, just get right up in the face. Clap back, clap back, woo! Making haters eat it like time for dinner. Mad cause your man was an all-stars winner. The junior pastor is a chosen lady. She's sitting on a track with Juju and Shady. Huh? Where are the jokes? The joke is that you're coming for my girls when you broke. To all the fans who love us, you're what we live for. See you on a clapback world tour.
Don't think you can say that crazy shit to me. You know I'll definitely clap back. Get your girl side by side. And then I'm the queen. Falling on you, don't want me to come for you. Ask your homegirl, cause she got dragged too. Trolling on me, better back down. Want the truth, you better sit down. Be the glad back, heard across the world. Need a good reading and I'm your girl.
Don't think you can say that crazy shit to me. You know I'll definitely clap back. Get your girl side by side.
Cast All Stars 5 and RuPaul with Clap Back, that new word that's going to probably enter every gay person's dictionary ever. Moving swiftly on, I said I want to talk about getting back to normal and what is the new normal. We both have something in common, Ashley, that we have had holidays cancelled during lockdown. We're probably 90% of the country, people of the country. I was meant to be heading out to Greece back in May, and then I was meant to be going to Portugal in July, thinking, oh, do you know what, I'm going to book a cheeky little Portugal trip, and then Portugal stayed on the quarantine list, so I was like, maybe not. I've had a few staycations. I said I went to Lincoln a couple of weeks ago, which was
I mean, that's a World Heritage site in itself, isn't it?
Beautiful, yep. Stayed on Steep Hill. It was a bloody great big
steep hill. Is very, very steep. There's some nice little cool kitsch shops on Steep Hill, and also the cathedral and the castle grounds are quite lovely.
Well, I stupidly decided I'd just work, so just to change scenery to work, so I had one day off. And then I met a friend that I now up there, so I didn't really get a chance to really look around much, which was fine, but it gives me an opportunity to get back.
First ever nightclub I ever went to was in Lincoln when I was
Steep Hill.
It was called Sugar Cubes. It may not still be open, but it was their version of the Pink Toothbrush.
Nice.
Yeah, it was filthy.
I bet. And you were meant to be heading to...
So in June, myself and my mum are going to be going to Greece for 2 weeks. We do it every year.
Every year, yeah, your annual...
Yes, our annual getaway, and we're sun worshippers, and we just sit on an all-inclusive, chat, play cards, and we just read and people watch, and also and try to tan as quick as we can, so we don't look and learn as much Greek as we can.
So you fit in.
Yes, we don't look British, really, because the British people on holiday are nightmares. Yeah. And I was supposed to be going to Valencia in 2 weeks' time, so I was supposed to go to Butlin's Big Weekend Away, the 90s Weekender, with Peter Andre headlining, which is paid for out of pub quiz winnings. And then at the end of that weekend, the next day, I was going to go to Valencia. And then obviously Spain was added to the quarantine list. And so everyone's been scrambling around to try and rebook to go to Portugal, which is now off the quarantine list. But working for the NHS, the risk of like Boris just changing his mind and being like, oh no, Portugal's back on the list again.
Yeah.
Whilst you're out there. And the risk of me then having to race home before the cutoff because I can't afford to quarantine for 14 more days afterwards.
So generous though, he gives you at least, you know, 30 hours. Surely 30 hours is enough time to run. You could probably run back from...
Yeah, I probably could, yeah, just swim back from Portugal.
Yeah.
So it's obviously disappointing. So I've put the money that I've got back into savings. Me and my mum have already booked a better holiday, thrown some more cash in and booked a better hotel for next year. And I'm banking all the money that I'm getting back from my holidays and just going to have a big blowout next year.
I think next summer there'll be no one in the UK. Everyone will be in other countries. So I have...
That's all right. I'm sure a lot of Americans will move over to the UK.
Probably. well, it depends on the outcome of the election, I suppose. I rebooked my flights from Portugal back in July to September, thinking, oh, I might be all right. So I had them booked for the 21st to the 25th of September. So I'm hoping to get out to Portugal.
I think you should be all right because Portugal's doing really well with their COVID management.
I'm unsure. Like, I think Boris is sitting there with one of those like scratchy like maps, and he's just scratching off a country and going,
scratch and sniff.
Yeah, I'm gonna put that. Like, because I think today, obviously, we're pre-recording. Switzerland, Czech Republic, and Jamaica.
That was a curveball.
But then last week it was Trinidad and Tobago. So I just think they're picking a Caribbean island.
One thing that's annoyed me and people that have had their holidays cancelled. I don't know if you're with me or not. I've obviously had to cancel because of the quarantine period. However, they haven't actually cancelled the flights because you can still go out there. So because of that, I can't get a refund on my flight. All I can get is the tax back.
Can you not amend it to another?
You couldn't. No, amend, it's Ryanair. I can amend it to the day before or the day after.
See, I've been lucky-ish where, although I did have a massive fight with the company because they said not all elements had been cancelled. So my outbound flight had been cancelled, but my return flight hadn't been, which I thought was really helpful because, you know, I could get a boat out to Greece and then, you know, fly back, which was, you know, very useful for me. So they offered a cash settlement and said I could claim the rest of my travel insurance. And then my travel insurance turned it down as well. So, but I've been lucky enough to... Yeah, I booked on a credit card, so I've got it back via credit card.
I tell you what, this isn't travel. This is COVID cancellation and refunds. I hung out with my friend in Nottingham, who I've been friends with her since I was 9. And in April, I was going to be her bridesman to her wedding.
Did she get a refund on her friendship? Is that what you're going to talk about?
Yeah, and she's cashing in.
Fully paid.
It's taken her 3 months to get her money back for her wedding because she waited and although she was very, very prepared to cancel the wedding, she didn't want to risk anyone in her party. She was waiting for Boris to say, we're calling off weddings. And as soon as he did that, she applied for a refund. The company refused, even though they were going to get the money back from the government on business insurance. It turns out that they didn't have business insurance. And because of that, they were going to refuse to pay her. To end up getting having to get legal representation to get the money back. And so she's eventually got it back. And obviously now she said to them, I was going to rebook it with you for next year, but now I'm not going to because of how awfully you've treated me.
It's disgusting. It's disgraceful how somehow, you know, and I can understand, you know, I do feel sorry for these businesses and because no one knew what was coming. No one predicted it. But I think you have to be a little bit, especially when it comes to something like that, like a wedding, you just have to be a bit considerate about it.
And also, get business insurance, kids.
Yeah.
Business, get business insurance.
Yes. I've got a story about that as well, but I haven't got time for it. Right. I wanted to play some tracks for people that are maybe missing holidays or miss holidays. I want to get them into the holiday vibe. So I've got four, I would call them bangers. Interestingly, Nikki added a banger to the list yesterday. A few oldie tracks and also a new track, which I am loving, from Gregory Porter. And you'll see the link just now. So we're going to start.
And before you play them, if one of these songs is Cliff Richard's Summer Holiday, I'm launching this laptop out the window.
your laptop will be safe, because I would never play Cliff Richard on
Thank you
my
so much.
Show.
Thank we you. Give this him is dangerous lurking much. In the shadows.
No, it was Titchmarsh last time, wasn't it? And Charlie Dimmock. Right, here is the Gypsy Kings to kick us off.
Ese amor llega así, esta manera, no tiene la culpa. Caballo le dan sabana, porque muy despreciado, por eso no te perdono llorar. Ese amor llega así, esta manera, no tiene la culpa. Amor de compraventa, amor del pasado. Ven, 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 ven. Perdón de Dios, tú eres mi vida, la fortuna del destino, el destino te ha desamparado, lo mismo ya callé, lo mismo soy yo, no te encuentro lavando, eres posible, no te encuentro de verdad. Por eso un día no cuento si de nada, lo mismo ya callé, lo pienso en ti. Bamboleo, bamboleo, porque mi vida yo la prefiero vivir así. Bamboleo, bamboleo, porque mi vida yo la prefiero vivir así.
with a million stars in the galaxy. When I'm floating with them, it's hard for me to see. I'm holding on to this dear earth as it spins around with me. With a million miles of odometry, and the moon like a goon staring back at me, I'm holding on to this dear earth with love and gravity. 60,000 feet up in the air, I can't wait to come down, drop down. I've been that fool, I let my fuel run low, let my people know I'm on drop down, slicing through the stratosphere, twice the speed of sound. My life is moving under me before I touch the ground. 30,000 feet up in the air, I can't wait to get there, drop down. The only thing I seem to see around, the sand in which you stand within my hand. Slicing through the stratosphere, twice the speed of sound. My life is moving under me before I touch the ground. Oh, feet up in the air, I can't wait to come down, drop down. The only thing I seem to see around, the sand in which you stand within my hand. Slicing through the stratosphere, twice the speed of sound.
go down from London.
So hopefully that got you in the holiday mood. So we had Bambaleo by the Gypsy Kings, the Ketchup song, and that was the Spanglish version. Spanglish version by Laz Ketchup. I love that song. Love it.
Oh, it's so good.
It's very repetitive though, a bit like Echo Beach, which I didn't realise. But in the middle of that, so Echo Beach is Mouth and Muffins, that's what you just heard. But as I said, Gregory Porter and Concord, beautiful track, really loving that at the moment. So hopefully they got you in the holiday mood. Ashley, I think we've come to the end.
I don't know where the time went.
I cannot believe we have been able to talk for 2 hours. Well, I can believe it, to be honest. But I just want to say thank you, as always.
Thank you.
Hopefully you'll get on holiday eventually. We'll be back. Next show is the 1st of October, and we're going to go with that gaming/competition game show.
I'm excited.
So any suggestions on, you know, listeners, any suggestions on winning, losing, game-related tracks? We've just been coming up with a few. The winner takes it all. Poker face.
I'm really happy with Solitaire.
Maybe not.
That was a good song.
And yeah, we will be back then, hopefully with some guests. And hopefully our straight, the rest of our family will join us, but they are too busy doing other stuff. I wanted to finish on this track. So Billy Piper's been back on the scene promoting her new programme that's coming out called something about Suzanne. I can't remember what it's called now. It's terrible. But it's going to be on Sky very soon. And every time I hear Billy Piper, it takes back to two things. Doctor Who. And the other thing is this track. So good night, loud and proud listeners. Enjoy and the month and stay safe. This is Billy Piper with Because We Want To. We can do anything that we want.